Thank you. I'd like to, at the outset, thank Laurette for inviting me once again for what often ends up as a mind-blowing experience. Thank you very much, Laurette. I have tried to stick to the subtopic, bridging disciplines and developing methodologies to bridge disciplines to illustrate some of the ways in which we can approach problems for which we do not have ready data. We have known for a long time now, despite some of the reservations that Patrick Webb earlier this morning rightly raised about how the price of food is increased and how it contributes to increasing food insecurity. It's very clear, despite these limitations, that the availability of food globally and particularly in developing countries is increasing year on year. And this is a graph we produced some years ago where we actually looked at food availability in different countries and plotted it against what we assumed would be an acceptable level between 2,500 to 3,000 calories. And if you look at this graph from 1961 on to 1980, 1999, and projected to 2030, you can see that they move from the left lower end. Most countries will move from this end to the right top end, which means the availability of food will exceed 3,000 calories per capita. Now, this really means that the availability of food is increasing, which might be contributing to the problem of obesity and chronic diseases that we are facing. We also know from the World Agriculture Report projecting towards 2015 and 2030 that the structure of the diet is also going to change. Although cereals will contribute much of the calories, we know that contribution from sugar will increase, contribution from vegetable oils will increase, and as you can see, it's projected to increase. So there is both a quantitative and a qualitative change in the diet occurring over the last 40 to 50 years, which is projected to increase further over the next 20 years or so. We also know that with economic development, when countries grow richer, the premium foods begin to be consumed in larger quantities, so per capita meat consumption will go up as the GDP of the country goes up. Now, in developing countries, animal source foods are the main sources of fat intake, but in developing countries, fat intake largely comes from increase in vegetable oil consumption, edible oil consumption, and along with the food revolutions that have taken place, edible oil production has also tremendously increased in developing countries. Popkin rightly argued that in the 1960s you needed a GDP of about $1,500, US dollars, to get 20% of fat in the diet, but now in 1990s, you could get the same 20% fat in the diet with half that GDP, that is about $750. So clearly, fat has become cheaper as time has progressed, and that is contributing a lot to the availability of fat in the diet. But if you actually go down and look for changes that are taking place at the level of consumption of individuals or households, there is very little data. This is the data we compiled for a document on the double burden of under and over nutrition in six countries in the different regions of the world. And if you look at it, this is the data that's available based on actual consumption surveys. For instance, in China, we have data from 1989, 1993, and 2000, clearly showing that the fat, proportion of fat, the contribution to total dietary energy is increasing. So the big question is, how can we look at data that would give us an idea of what is happening at much shorter intervals and where we can follow trends more regularly? We know that the food balance sheet data, which provides what are called supply utilization accounts that the FAO database has largely looked at nutrients like energy and protein only for a very long period of time. So over the last 5 to 6 years, we've begun to use the same data. We recognize the limitations of this data, and we also recognize that it only provides an index of the availability of food and not what is actually consumed. Nevertheless, we sort of merge that with the USDA food composition database and use the same data sets to arrive at nutrient availability in different countries throughout the world. And what I'm going to present to you is some of the data analysis we have done, trying to look at these macro data sets and converting them into nutrients and trying to see what we can obtain from these sort of large data sets. The question we asked is, if we use this sort of a data set, can we try and relate that to what is recommended as the WHO, FAO recommendations for population nutrient intake goals? Now, we assume that these crude databases that provide us nutrient intakes actually provide what are considered to be national average apparent consumption. It's not the real consumption, it's an apparent consumption. And we want to match that with the population nutrient intake goals. We did this analysis some years ago for the European Union diet, and that is part of a chapter in the book that Laurette has produced. And we were actually trying to see what the impact of the common agricultural policy was. And despite all the ill things said about the common agricultural policy, what we came out with, conclusions we came out with, was that if anything, it did some good for the European Union diet rather than harm from the point of view of health. We have now undertaken similar analysis with the diets of developing countries and tried to see how healthy these diets are. And we also want to see whether the trends that we notice, both qualitative and quantitative, in the availability of food actually is altering the pattern of diets in developing countries more towards what is seen in industrialized countries. So the data analysis I'm going to present relates to these two questions. Now, what exactly do we mean by healthy diet? And again, we have used the recommended population nutrient intake goals, only some of which I will highlight. One is that total fat should be between 15% to 30%, and saturated fat must be less than 10% of energy, and free sugars must be less than 10% of energy. Also, cholesterol must be less than 300 milligrams per day, and the fruit and vegetable consumption must be more than 400 grams per day. If Joseph Schmidhuber was here and he was presenting, he actually would have presented phenomenal animations, because he's very good at that. They don't work with me, and therefore I have actually taken just the before and after sort of shots. So I show you now the 1961, the countries we have selected, different regions, Asia, Latin America, the Middle East, and some countries from Africa, countries which we believe are countries that are going through fairly rapid economic change. And in 1961, you can see that several of these countries were below the 2,500 limit, and there is a comparison at the bottom, developing countries and the world. Look at it in 2007. You can see the red portion has enormously increased, and that's the contribution from animal foods. The animal food products have contributed to almost every country. Look at China, for instance. China is one of the countries with dramatic increases in the amount of animal food consumption. And if you compare at the bottom, developing countries, the rest of the world, here again you can see developing countries are not very much behind. So there has been a remarkable change. Now, this sort of data you couldn't get from consumption data, and you can only get it from the sort of FAO stat data that looks at food availability. We also try to plot, again using these recommendations, as you can see we've plotted the total fat, 15% and 30%. You can see the lines, 15% and 30%. And we also have 10% of calories from sugar. And you notice that majority of the countries we have chosen, the developing countries, are at the lower end, what we consider to be the ideal, below 30% of fat and below 10% of sugars in 1961. And you notice that apart from Kuwait, which was already in 1961, fat intakes were very much higher, most of the other countries are in the ideal range. And in 2005, you see this trend, this shift towards the other end, and you see that already several countries in this group that we have selected are already consuming more than 10% sugars in their diet, and are also consuming, several of them are consuming, like Brazil, and China is moving towards that, where they are exceeding 30% of fat in their diet. This is a study that Joseph Schmidhuber did some years ago to take one country as an example. He took Cuba as an example and showed that if this consumption of sugars and sweeteners increases, it actually pushes the intake of iron out of the diet. So, in fact, too much consumption of sugar actually reduces the availability and consumption of micronutrients such as iron. Then we looked at saturated fat intake. And again, you can see here, the ideal is 15 to 30. And you notice that the total fat intake calories were below even 15%. And the saturated fat intake was also below 10%. They were all quite good in the 1960s. They were not as good in terms of the amount of fat they were consuming, but in terms of saturated fat, they were really very good. But look at it in 2008. Although the saturated fat intake has not gone up, they are moving further and further down towards what is ideal in terms of total fat intake. But I wouldn't be surprised when we actually project it to 2015, they would have moved down to too much of fat and too much of saturated fat in the diets. We also try to look at saturated fats and cholesterol, because these are the two important things that contribute to chronic diseases. And as you can see, in 1961, the saturated fat was less than 10% in most countries, apart from Malaysia and Kuwait. And the intake of cholesterol was less than 300 milligrams, or the availability of cholesterol in the diet. And as you can see, although the saturated fat has not changed very much, which is similar to what we saw earlier, but you notice that the intake of cholesterol in the diet has been going up. I'm sorry if I use the term intake. It's actually the availability per capita in the diet. Then we also looked at polyunsaturated fat intakes. One of the contributions of increase in edible oil production in developing countries is the nature of consumption of polyunsaturated fats is changing quite dramatically in several countries. And actually, within countries like India, the consumption of different edible oils is creating a confusion with regard to what is happening to the ratio of omega-6 to omega-3. We used a ratio recommended by WHO, which says about 4 to 5, 4.5 to 1 ratio of omega-6 to omega-3, and also the polyunsaturated fatty acid ratios, 6 to 10%. And if you look at it, most of the countries are below the recommended levels of polyunsaturated fat intakes, but none of them, even in 1961, had these so-called healthy ratios. The healthy ratios are, as I said, can be up to 4.5 to 1. And in the Western diet, it could be anywhere from 10 to 30 to 1. And you notice that similar patterns are occurring even in the developing countries, that they do not have a good ratio with regard to omega-6 and omega-3. But you notice that many of the countries are moving into the normal ranges of polyunsaturated fat intakes. And this may also change over time. Then fruit and vegetable consumption. What strikes you in 1961 is many countries belong to the group at the lower left end, which is not enough fiber in the diet and not enough fruit and vegetable consumption in the diet. But you can see a linear trend, and this trend gets shifted further, and you notice that more and more countries are moving into what is ideal, that is, the consumption of fruits and vegetables is increasing in many of these countries over time. This is just a summary of what is happening to the developing countries that we have selected. And again, these are adjusted for the size of the population. And I just want you to focus on just the share of fat. You can see the two blue lines are the recommended intakes, 15 to 30%. And you notice that in 1961 that the contribution of fat was less than 15%. It increased to above 15% in the year 1990, and in 2007, it's going up further. Now, this sort of macro analysis is very useful because we can track countries, and we can see what is overall happening to the diets in these various countries. Joseph also developed something called the Consumption Similarity Index, CSI, he calls that, which is based on 95 food items he chose from the FAO's availability in database, and using that you can get a score of anything from 0.1 to 1. If you get a score of 0.6, means that 60% of the calories come from similar food items. So if a country has a score of 0.6, that means another country which has a score of 0.6 also has similar items contributing to 60% of the share of calories. So using this index, we can plot the pattern of the diet. And here we are comparing the pattern of the consumption to the U.S. as standards. U.S. is 100%. That's the point. You can see North America, both the U.S. and Canada. And I'd like you to watch that. You can see what's happening to the Canadian diet. And you can see countries, developing countries, where they are really about 25-30%, scores of 0.3 to 0.35, 0.45. In 1990, they're getting darker. They're getting closer and closer, 5.5, 6.5, and so on. In 2000, they get even darker. That is, they are getting closer and closer to the diet in industrialized countries, taking U.S. as an example. And you can see, at the same time, in Canada, Canada has moved away from the pattern that you see in the U.S. So you can use this to, again, project and see what is happening to the consumption. Is it becoming more and more similar, and what impact it has? Finally, we can use these data sets, the dietary energy supply, based on FAOstat and related to the status of obesity and overweight. Here, this is a graph of the different countries plotting the dietary energy supply against overweight and obesity in the total population. In summary, this food balance sheet, supply utilization accounts of FAOstat, which actually provide, as I mentioned, national average apparent food consumption trends, can be used. And using the sort of example that I've used, we have shown that energy intakes are increasing, sugar intakes are increasing in some of the developing countries we have chosen. There is increasing contribution from animal foods. There is increasing fat intakes. Saturated fats are going up. Polyunsaturated fats are all going up, although the ratios of fatty acids are still suboptimal. There is improvement in fruit and vegetable consumption, and there is a progressive convergence of consumption patterns with that seen in industrialized countries. We are currently trying to interrogate this data sets to try and see what is the rate of economic growth, what is the rate of foreign direct investment to the pattern of changes in these diets. And we see that we can try and get some idea of what are the various macroeconomic changes that are taking place in these countries and how they relate to dietary patterns. Thank you very much.